May I read the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 1? The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, He ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall baptize with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Today we are briefly going to look at some of the wrong views regarding the second coming. Now, when I talk about wrong views, I'm not talking about those who have particular hobby horses or who have theories. There are plenty of people who have theories. I always remember in college, the dear principal said on one occasion, when asked regarding the position of the millennium, he said there are some people who are premillennial, some who are postmillennial, some who are amillennial, and some who just believe it'll pan out in the end. Well, we're going to try and struggle with what the Bible teaches. But when we talk about wrong views of the second coming, we're talking about the spirit world in which there are many inroads at this present time as there were in the days of the apostles. Now, some of those inroads you may not yet be aware of. The New Age movement is one of those. It's very religious in its outworking. Some of you have already read Seduction of Christianity, and you have found it very challenging. We'll find it more challenging when we do a series of sermons on Seduction of Christianity. There are other inroads today that have a religious front. Then there are theological thoughts that have inroads today. And so by God's grace, let us see if we can struggle with some of them this morning. Now, I personally think it is fair to say that Bible prophecy is very seldom taught and discussed in our churches. Not because of different personal views. I do not believe that at all. But I believe very strongly the reason why it is not taught in our churches is because Satan blinds the eyes of the Christian and dulls their spiritual hearing. Satan can give you instant deafness and instant blindness when it comes to the things of God. He doesn't want you to know the truth regarding biblical prophecies. Why? Because the biblical prophecies completely expose him. Now, biblical prophecies, when studied, puts the Christian into the fullness of the light of Christ and illuminates all the darkness of Satan. Now, our Lord told us clearly that truth back in John chapter 3, after he had been speaking with Nicodemus. He said, men hate the light. They prefer darkness. They prefer to live in their evil conduct. Now, don't let's exclude it from the church. Because you can't. There is spiritual darkness in the church. There is such a thing as spiritual warfare. And it's in this church. So don't for one moment consider that it's not in the church. And Satan loves to give you the dullness of hearing. Satan loves to tell you not to listen to the preacher. Satan loves to tell you not to listen to what the preacher teaches, providing the preacher is teaching the Bible. Now, when we read John 3:19 very carefully, what do we find? And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So what has Satan done to confuse the issue? He has caused, first of all, many people to wrongly interpret the truths of Christ's second coming. Now that's the very first thing he's done, because he doesn't want you to understand what the Bible teaches. Now it's well known among scholars that all the scripture passages which predict the fact of the second coming of our Lord are in perfect harmony. There's a kind of music to it. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will come again, literally, personally, visibly, and in his present glorified body. Now, Satan doesn't want you to believe that, and there are very good reasons why he doesn't want you to believe that. But the Bible also clearly teaches in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 that Christ will come again in person. Now let's for a moment get hold of this personification of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and then the Bible in Revelation 1 verse 7 says that the descent is visible. The descent is visible. Now remember the instructions that were given to the apostles by the heavenly messengers. And remember, it is John on the Isle of Patmos writing under divine inspiration the truth of Revelation 1:7. You all know what it is. Just in case you don't, let's have a look at it. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Every eye shall see him. Oh, there's no problem now with all the television link-ups, are there? He may not use the television link-ups. We don't know. But we do know this, that every eye shall see him. Who would have dreamt when I was a boy, born back in the 30s? Who would have ever dreamt that we could sit in our lounge room and watch Australia play England cricket over in England? Or see the rugby league played in England? Who would have ever dreamt about that? I can remember as a boy sitting up to the early hours of the morning listening to an old radio with the great big poles with a big aerial across, trying to listen to the cricket when Bradman was playing. And we thought that was great. We live in a very wonderful and a very weird world. But then when we look at Acts 1:11, we see that it teaches that his second coming will be as literal as his first coming. And there's no doubt about that. He's coming personified, he's coming visible, and he is literally coming. Now, beloved people, Satan does not like those biblical truths. And that is why he has propagated error in the church. He has propagated theological error. He has propagated biblical error. And until our Lord comes again, he'll go on propagating error. But if you learn about Satan, and you learn about his devious means and who he's out to get, you'll then have your eyes opened by the Holy Spirit, and divine illumination will come so quickly to you that you'll wonder why you never understood the Bible before. I want you now to turn to John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Our Lord here is talking to his own disciples, and what does he say? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, I don't know how many times I've heard that read at a funeral service, and I go cold. Got nothing to do with a funeral service at all. It's got no meaning to a lot of people who die outside of Christ. But I want us to look at it this morning. What did our Lord mean when he said, I will come again? It's very clear that he was not referring to his spiritual presence, which he had guaranteed through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But there are those today who teach that. And most spiritists teach that. Those who believe in white magic believe also in Jesus, but not the Son of God. Now, would we not all agree that it is wonderful to have a promise of Christ's presence? But how much more wonderful it will be to have the experience of it. You see, the Bible clearly teaches in Isaiah 43:2 and Psalm 23:4 that the Old Testament believers had the promise of the Lord's presence, but for the New Testament believers, we have the last promise of our Lord, the one he made before his ascension, and it is in Matthew 28:19-20. We often talk about casting our burden upon the Lord, and that's right and proper. But have you ever realized that the Lord has cast a burden upon us? And it is in Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And what does that teach? That teaches that we are to be occupied for Christ until he returns. Now, there are those who teach biblical and theological error concerning that passage of Scripture. And I don't care who they are. If they come in this church to propagate it, I'll propagate them out that door. Because whilst ever I'm the pastor of the church, we'll study the Bible. Not what people think. Not man's ideas. Some theologians have made a mess of it. And what we've got to realize is that our Lord has placed a burden upon us until he returns. He says, occupy, do business till I return. He didn't say for us to be comfortable. And when we come to the teaching on the tribulation, I'm sure you'll never be comfortable again. But as we look at what we read together in Acts 1, we see that Acts 10 and 11 will literally be fulfilled. And while they steadfastly looked up toward heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. Now let's have a look at verse 18 of John 14. It says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And here we have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this promise was fulfilled when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, true it is that in a new and wonderful way, the Lord Jesus Christ came to his waiting disciples, but this was not the fulfillment of his word recorded here in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, where he said, I will come again. Now there are those who propagate that teaching, and they peddle it in and out of the churches. And even theologians have pushed that theory. The Bible is teaching us that the promise of Christ's return was mentioned many times after Pentecost. So Pentecost could not have been the fulfillment of the promise. We need to understand that. Beloved people, the Bible clearly teaches in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and Philippians 3:20 that it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who is coming. It is the Lord who is coming, not the Holy Spirit. It would be fair to say that when the Lord comes, the Holy Spirit and the day of grace will be all over. Now we're going to look at that truth in the Bible. We're going to have a look at what the rapture really means next week. And I want to say to you lovingly, I'm not a bit interested in what you've been taught in Baptist tradition. I'm only interested in what the Bible teaches. And I trust that you will listen and you will study the Word and you will learn what the Bible teaches. The third point, let us think about being born of God. Call it conversion if you like. Now, in a very real sense, the Lord does come to us when we receive Him as our Savior and Lord at conversion. There's no argument about that. There's plenty of Scripture to support that. John 1:12, Galatians 2:20, just to give you a couple of illustrations. But as Hebrews 9:28 clearly teaches, this is not to be confused with the promise of His second coming. Because when we read carefully and we study carefully 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 9 and 10, we see that the believers at Thessalonica had been converted and were serving the Lord and they were anticipating the return of the Lord. Now, beloved people, the Bible clearly teaches that in regard to conversion, we have a right relationship with the Lord through the new birth. But when our Lord speaks about His coming again, He is not referring to the wonderful experience of conversion. But He's referring to the certain fact of His personal return. Now there are those, of course, different schools of thought, who teach that when you have been born again, Christ has come the second time. We come now to look at what the Bible teaches in regard to the death of the believer. And here is another theory that has been causing a lot of havoc over the years. But at this point, please let the Bible assure you that when our Lord was speaking of His second coming, He was not referring to the death of the believer. The Bible teaches that we need have no fear of the dark valley or of death itself, because the Lord Himself has conquered death, and He will be there with us. But let us also remember that the Bible clearly teaches that death is still an enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:26. But we are not to hope for death, but for the Lord's personal and visible return, as Titus 2, verse 11 through 13 teaches. Now I want you to turn for a moment with me to John chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. And then we're going to compare these verses with verse 18 and 19. But first of all, let's have a look at verse 21 and 22. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And what does 18 and 19 say regarding Peter? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Christ talking to him, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me, follow me. And then he rebukes him a little later on and says, What's it to you, Peter? You mind your own business. I'm in control. Now from this passage of Scripture, we learn the distinction between death and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's another subject that is never taught much in the churches today. Death and dying and how to die. Because Satan has blinded the eyes of the preachers. Beloved people, the Bible clearly teaches that the second coming of Jesus Christ cannot refer to death because some Christians will never die, as 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52 and 1 Thessalonians 4:17 reveals. How are you going? You hanging in there? Let me encourage you to hang in. Now, some people have taught that Christ returned at the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. That's a lie. Indeed, one modern heretical sect teaches that he returned in 1844. Others have taught that he came in 1914. And I see they've got a new date for it again. Well, if he came in either 1844 or 1914, the question I would ask, has the rapture come and gone? And we are in the days of the great tribulation. We might as well go home. The church age is over. The Holy Spirit has been withdrawn. And the day of grace is over. And I've missed out, and so have you. And I was so looking forward to going to heaven. But beloved people, what does the Bible teach in Matthew 24:30 and 26:64? Let's have a look at that. What does it say? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And then the Bible also clearly teaches in Matthew 24, verse 14, Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, does not Matthew 24, 36 also make it clear? But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, what we learn from the Bible truth is simply this. Christ was not referring to some historical event that had no connection with his personal bodily return.